Welcome to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you're having a great week. For me, it's been a little bit interesting to get the podcast recorded because for some reason my voice keeps squeaking. So this is now the seventh attempt to get the introduction recorded. Like I said, I hope you're doing well. This week, I wanted to start the podcast off with a story, an observation that leads into our discussion. One of the things that I think is interesting is the creativity that exists in the world and the creativity that exists in all of us. Many years ago, we had a sweet little cat, and her name was Bonsai, and that's because she would run up you and headbutt you. And Bonsai had this cardboard box that was around that eventually she adopted and started to play with. And she would get in the box, and her paws would hang over the front edge as if she was looking out over the bow of a boat. She would bring toys into the box, take toys out of the box. You could hear her in there, like, spinning in the box, making all sorts of cat noises. Things would fly in and out of the box. So she really played with it. And eventually, on the side of the box was written the name HMS Bonsai. So it kind of became her little boat. And for weeks, she played with this boat. And if we moved it from room to room, she would play different things with it. She'd float. Eventually, the flaps on the box would fold in. Eventually, the flaps on the box would fold out. Ultimately, though, she wandered into less safe harbors. And our cat, Bella, decided that it was time to sink the HMS Bonsai. And the box was no more. But one of the things that amazed me was watching her imagination, because clearly she was playing with and imagining something going on there. Now, to what level and to what degree and whether or not she was actually playing boat or some other game, I'll never know. But her imagination was critical to her experience of getting to play. And if you watch other animals in nature and if you watch people, that imagination is critical. And particularly if you get to watch children, the imagination that children bring to their everyday experience is amazing. Dolls come to life, stuffed animals come to life. There's actually creatures that live in the forest that have to be slayed. There's all sorts of amazing things that happen in the mind of a child that are as real as the things that aren't. For us as adults, for whatever reason, the way society's structured, because we go get jobs, because it's driven out of us through education, whatever it is, we start to lose some level of that amazing ability to always let our imagination run free. And not only that, the more imaginative something is, oftentimes the more we discourage it. We don't want that crazy imagination. But yet when we go to movies, when we read books, we are just sucked in and drawn into this really imaginative quality because it's something we crave. We crave the imagination. We crave things that are experienced in a different way. It allows us to learn and access things about ourselves that we haven't before. So that's a very long introduction to bring me to my point of even documentary photographers, I would make this assessment of, but I think less so with documentary photography. But I think one of the things that I hear over and over again when I'm working with people on their photography is they want to make better photographs. And they tell me what they're photographing. And they're photographing everyday objects. That's the power of photography. We're able to go out and find anything and take a picture of it. But when we talk to the people and we ask them what their photograph's about, it's usually something more than that. It's something else than the side of a building. It's a reflection. And what's the quality of the reflection? Oh, I think it's this element of surprise, of something emerging out of one and the other. There's all sorts of this ways of explaining the way light works. For some people, they look and they say, oh, I photographed those tree branches because they look like a dragon. Or if we go back to Stieglitz equivalents, you know, photographing clouds is representative of something else. I was recently photographing down at a junkyard. And in the junkyard, as all the metal started to fold together and the rust and different elements, while there was all the traditional requirements of photography, framing, composition, line, color, all of those pieces, what I saw in the objects that were laying around in piles of twisted and contorted metal, what I saw in the abandoned trucks was something else. Part of that might have been the story of the farmer and who had that truck for 30 years and all the things that happened with the pickup truck. Other times it was literally the contorted metal looked like something crushing solar systems and ripping them back apart to form new solar systems. So in my imagination were all of these various elements. As photographers, as creative individuals, as imaginative individuals, I think it's important for us to really look at our photographs and think of the imagination side of our lives and think about what do we see, feel, and experience in those photographs and what do we imagine in those photographs? A truly imaginative world is the world created by somebody's own reality that exists within their mind. If you think about the world of Dr. Seuss and all those characters and the way they look and the plants and the flowers and the rhyming, all of that, by sharing that through books, we got to experience that world. That's an interesting part for us as photographers, because I do believe when we walk down the street and we're able to suppress, and I truly do mean suppress, that notion that we're not to have an imagination, that we're to fall in line, that we're to do things the way society expects, the way that normal things happen, we are doing a disservice to our photography. We are losing the ability to see something more than there and a sense to experience more that's there and to imagine more that's there. If we can imagine something more and we can create that in the photograph, we can frame that in the photograph, we can wait and let that unfold in the photograph, I think we end up with more interesting photographs. And then it comes down to we're no longer having to worry so much about some of the technical things that stumble across our desk when we're trying to work on a photograph, when we're trying to create a new photograph. But really, what does the imagination do for us? What does the imagination say about who we are? There are two great quotes that I really like around imagination. One's by John Muir, who worked with the Sierra Club, hiked into the Sierra Nevadas. The power of the imagination makes us infinite. And the other one is by Robin Williams. You're only given a little spark of madness. You mustn't lose it. And I think for a lot of us, as we're trying to create interesting photographs, as we're trying to create meaningful photographs, we learn all the technique, we learn all the composition, we learn about the importance of storytelling. And what we lack in creating amazing photographs is the imagination part of it. That spark that makes us different, that spark that pushes us into an unknown area of our mind, an unknown area of our consciousness, that says, this is something wholly unto itself that's different than it was before. And I think even the most traditional photographers still employ that imaginative quality. If we look at some documentary photographs or portraits of people and we get that quality of light and the clothing they wear and the position they wear, it's not just about the person who's getting the photograph. It's not just about the person taking the photograph or the clothing. There's some level of story in there. And the more imaginative that story, the more interesting the photograph is. And so while we're trying to create work that we find interesting, I think one of the things that we overlook is that push, that desire to stand out and be different, and to accept the fact that sometimes our imagination is fantastic. It is wild. It is something amazing that needs to be shared and cherished. Our desire to try to fit the mold makes that harder. Through photography, I think it makes it even harder, because what we do in photographic education, for the most part, is we teach people very specific techniques. We teach people very specific tools. We talk about the importance of story. We talk about the importance of being consistent and having a good portfolio. But do we ever just let the imagination run wild? Do we teach people how to imagine something else through the camera lens? Do we teach people that what we do and how we do it and how we edit and print and share is about something more than just creating the photograph? That it's more than just me trying to share a story? That what I'm trying to create is a fantastical world, an amazing world to share with somebody? And that every photograph I tell is a page in that story. Every photograph that is seen becomes a paragraph in that story. So if I'm going to create an amazing, fantastic world in which I live, and I'm going to share that, every photograph needs to be pushed into that realm of the imagination. That realm of being really, how is my world? So even if you're one of the classic, like I said, documentary photographers, and you're going to a location and you're photographing cowboys of the Old West, or you're down photographing the life of butterflies in the Amazon, or you're photographing and documenting the birds of your backyard, those locations are something else for you. They hearken an emotion, a feeling, a response. And your imagination dictates where those portraits get taken, where those images get created, what butterflies get taken, what the life cycle of that butterfly is, whatever it is. It's the imagination that lets me see that world in a different way. It's one of the things that happens, I think, sometimes when you see amazing photographs of certain places or amazing portraits, and then you go visit that location and you're like, well, this isn't that interesting. And I think it's not that interesting, not because the place isn't interesting or that the people aren't that interesting. It's that your imagination of the place is different than the imagination of the other person. And that's what made it interesting. I also think this is one of the components of when we talk about working the scene, which is one of the things that I despise, that notion of just going and taking 1,000 photographs of a location and that hopefully a blind squirrel finds a nut notion. When we are working the scene, more than taking the photographs is really, how do you imagine this? Don't tell me what's there. Literally tell me what's there. Tell me what's more than there. That's one of the gifts that the photograph has and the photographer has, is originally the photographer and the photograph was meant to be a literal representation. It was a facsimile of the real world. We put a camera in front of it, light shown, lights captured. It's a direct representation of the world that was in front of us. We believe that to be true. That's why we believed photographs to be factual, but they have never been that way. They've always been about point of view. They've always been about angle of view, depth of field, shutter speed, all of those elements coming together to create something else. And what I think makes it interesting is when we hit that accelerator a little harder. And even if you take somebody like Ansel Adams, who is for the most part thought of in the history of photography as a straight photographer in terms of he didn't do a lot of manipulation, which is what the digital people say who've never been in a dark room, he manipulated the daylights out of his photographs. He took photographs to create not the world as it was, but the world as he imagined it. Devoid of trash, devoid of tourism, beauty and majestic. That world doesn't exist. It didn't exist except within his imagination. And luckily, within his imagination, he was able to convince other people the importance of preserving the Yosemite Valley and natural parks and things like that. But it was that imagination that drove that forward. So what I would encourage you to do is, one, I thought of some exercises that I think would help with this. And they're a little bit goofy, but they're not expensive, which is good. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, go out and buy really expensive things to learn this. In this case, what I'd love for you to do is think about the 2 or 3 books you read as a kid that just wowed your imagination. You know, maybe it was A Wrinkle in Time. Maybe it was The Road to Terabithia. Maybe it was Ralph S. Mouse. Maybe it was some other book by Dr. Seuss. Whatever it was. And then go to the bookstore. Go to the used bookstore. Get on your Kindle, whatever it is, and buy those books. Buy 2 or 3 of those kids' books that really sparked your imagination and reread those books. Reconnect with the imagination you had as a child and then go see how that shapes your photographs, shapes how you edit and sequence photographs, how you think about creating new photographs. And then work to really put your imagination into the story, not just the storytelling from A to B, but give me that additional fantastic way you see and experience the world and put that into the photograph and really wow me with that experience. I would love to see those imaginative photographs. And imagination doesn't mean that you've made it complex and composited in Photoshop. It really just means you've taken the time to figure out what is amazing in your world and how you see it every single day and get that captured on film. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us up anywhere a podcast are found, or a review or anything there would be great. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for listening. It really does make my day. I really do appreciate it. And I will see you next time.